And so I thought I was going to retire from this job. I loved it so much. And all I wanted to do was work into this job until the day I retired and have the name, the athletic field or the gym after me. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted.
That's good. That is so, so cool. Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast, the podcast that's dedicated to providing valuable insights, practical tips, and proven strategies to equip new teachers for success. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, educator, published author, and instructional coach. Join me in each episode as we offer a supportive platform for navigating the challenges of the teaching profession. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing strategies to support students with challenging behaviors with our guest, Dr. Don Parker. But before we get into today's topic, I'd like to take a moment to share a little bit about today's special guest. Dr. Parker has over 20 years of professional and academic experience and has developed a plethora of strategies to support students with challenging behaviors. He's conducted in-depth research while earning a doctorate degree in educational leadership. His experience as an assistant principal for curriculum and instruction and as an assistant principal for pupil personnel services has provided him with the knowledge of how to best apply research-based methods in practical situations to determine their effectiveness. Dr. Parker has founded his own company, DPCP Corp., where he's able to offer teachers and administrators these same strategies in building relationships with managing students with challenging behaviors while helping them to be successful in the school setting. Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, and in today's episode, we're going to be discussing strategies to support students with challenging behaviors with our guest, Dr. Don Parker. Welcome to the show, Don.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here on the show with you this morning.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know not only new teachers are going to get a wealth of knowledge here and value, but also seasoned teachers as well, because this is obviously a very, very important topic here. But would you like to take a moment to talk about your journey in education?
All right, absolutely. So I started off my career as a health and physical education teacher in Chicago Public Schools here on the south side of Chicago. And from there, I went on to become a dean of students at a high school in the Chicagoland area. And from there, I went on to become assistant principal for culture and climate at a high school. And from there, I progressed to become the assistant principal of curriculum instruction at a high school. And the reason I love this position is because in this position, I learned how to become an instructional leader, because all of my educational experience in the past had been either teaching physical education, health, social emotional learning, mm-hmm. and behavior. But this helped me become more well-rounded as a school leader and school administrator, because I was able to learn the curriculum side of education. And then from there, I fell into my dream job, Steve, and I thought I was going to retire from this job. I became the assistant principal of activities and athletics, and really, this was just a fancy title for an athletic director. Mm-hmm. And the reason they tied assistant principal onto it is because I had to manage several departments within the school. I had to manage the fine arts department, the physical education department, and the career and technical education department. Mm-hmm. And so during the day, I was an assistant principal, but in the evening, I had to facilitate all the sports and extracurricular activities. And the reason I love this is because I was able to combine my love for educational leadership with athletics. And so I thought I was going to retire from this job. I loved it so much. And all I wanted to do was work into this job until the day I retired and have the name, the athletic field or the gym after me. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted.
Well, that's good. That is so, so cool.
Yeah, but fate had it that I became a principal of a kindergarten through eighth grade school. And I was the principal of a kindergarten and eighth grade school for 6 years before becoming a full-time professional development provider and educational consultant, which I do now.
Wow. I'll tell you what, Don, you sure got around there. I'll tell you. Let me ask you this. What are some key indicators that you can share with respect to what teachers and school administrators should look for to identify students who may fall behind or drop out of school?
All right. Well, you know what? They talk about the ABCs. And so the ABCs are attendance. What does the student's attendance look like? Like, are they coming consistently? Do they have a high rate of attendance? Or is the student missing a lot of school? Or are they cutting classes? Or are they, you know, suspended a lot? We have to look at their attendance. All right, number one. And then number two is behavior. Okay. How is their behavior in the school? Are they following your school's social norms? Are they meeting those behavior standards that you set? Okay. Are they being referred a lot to the discipline office? Okay. How are their interactions with their teachers and their peers? All right. What is their behavior looking like? And then the C stands for coursework. All right. How are their academic grades? How are their assessment scores? How are they performing on their homework assignments and class activities? All right. So those are the ABCs of indicators: attendance, behavior, and coursework.
Okay. Can you discuss the importance of personalized learning plans for students with challenging behaviors? You know, and what are some of the effective strategies, Don?
All right. Well, we have to understand that a student, when they have challenging behavior, the behavior meets a need. Okay. And students sometimes are not always able to effectively communicate what their needs are or what their feelings are. And so what they do is they tend to communicate their needs and their wants and feelings through their behavior. And so when we talk about personalized learning and students who may be having behavior challenges, you know, it may be precedented by the coursework. And that's why personal learning is so important for students, because we have to meet students where they are academically. So if a student is given an assignment to do and they're not able to do the assignment, then we may see some of that behavior come to the forefront, right? And so it's not that the student doesn't want to do it. It's not that the student doesn't want to comply with the teacher in order to do the work. It's maybe an issue where the student may be unable to do the work, or is unsure on how to do the work, or doesn't have enough confidence to complete the assignment. And so therefore he or she might start displaying unwanted behavior. And so that's why personal learning is so important. So we can meet students where they are so that they can do tasks that challenge them, but yet they're still capable of completing the task. So the personalized learning does that. It hits students what Lee Vygotsky called is the zone of proximal learning. And so when we hit students in a zone of proximal learning where they feel challenged, but they still feel able to complete the work, then we're right there in the sweet spot where we need to meet our students.
That's great. And it avoids all kind of frustration, I would think, as far as a student's concerned.
Absolutely.
You know, what is your sense on engagement and, you know, motivation are often challenges for managing student behaviors? What are some of the proven methods or programs that have successfully increased student engagement?
Okay. Well, number one, if we can establish a sense of belonging for all of our students, where students understand that they're in a safe environment and that they're cared about, and the teacher has to establish that they are just as interested in that student just as a person as they are in their academic success. So that comes with building relationships with students, letting students know that they're cared about, and students also knowing that the teacher will be there to support them with any challenges that they may have, whether those challenges are social emotional learning or whether those be challenges are academic challenges, okay? The student has to know that, hey, my teacher cares about me, my teacher has my best interests at heart, and my teacher cares about building a relationship with me. And once those things are established, then we can see the students start being more successful with their academic tasks and with their behavior.
Okay.
So that's number one, is establishing the relationship and the student feeling supported. Okay, another thing that we have to do is increase students' confidence and competence. And the way we do that is by speaking positive affirmations to students, by telling students every day, hey, you know what? You're smart. You're capable. You can do great things. All right, the sky's the limit for you. I see so much great potential in you, and letting students know that you are capable of doing everything you put your mind to. You just need a little bit of support, and we need to just build your confidence. And we have to let students experience success and continue to give them those positive affirmations. So it starts to sink in because they'll say, you know what? If my teacher believes in me, then guess what? I should be believing in myself.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That is totally awesome. You know, Don, beyond academic support, what other resources and support systems are crucial for managing student behavior? You know, how can schools and communities work together to provide a holistic support system?
All right. So what you're talking about is referred to as an ecological approach to what the student needs in order to be successful. So that ecological support talks about how can we support the student in the school environment? How can we support that student when they're in their home environment? And how can we support student in their community? So when you say how can schools and communities collaborate in order to support students, all right, what the school has to be aware of is what community resources are available for students based on the community in which they live. Also, they have to find out what supports do the parents need at home in order to support the students. Like what guidance, advice, or suggestions, tips, strategies can schools share with parents in the home in which the students live? So let me give you a practical example. Of course, when students are at school, we want to formulate A-plus environments in the school environments. Unfortunately, sometimes when students go to their home environments, they may not be A-plus. So how can the school support the home? And so a real quick story is, I remember before I got married, it was around the time where me and my now wife were getting more serious in our dating relationship, coming to the point where we were going to decide, hey, do we want to, you know, get married and build a life together? And so I visited my, at the time, my girlfriend's hometown, because she wasn't from Chicago. She had moved to Chicago. So we visited her family in her hometown. When we went to visit her family, I was just gauging, you know, how her family was treating me. All right, a lot of them welcomed me with open arms. Some of them was a little bit more standoffish when they met me because they didn't trust me. And so when I got back home, I told my mom, you know, I'm really serious with this relationship. I really like this girl. I'm thinking about proposing to her. But the one thing that's making me a little bit hesitant was how some of her family members treated me, you know, who wasn't, you know, warm and caring right off the bat. And she said, well, she's like, if you really want to marry her, you have to bridge the gap between her and those family members. Because when you marry her, you're not just marrying her, you're marrying her family. And when she marries you, she's not just marrying you, she's marrying your family. And so in other words, when we work with students, we have to realize that we're not just making a commitment to the student to help the student to be successful, but we also have to commit to helping that student's family be successful and giving them the resources to also help cultivate greatness in that student. So we have to form a partnership and an allyship with the families in order to help the student. And I tell you, in my experience, when I have great relationships with my students' parents, then I also have an easier time in redirecting the student, mm-hmm. helping that student academically, motivating that student, because that student also knows that I can pick up that phone at any time and contact his, you know, family members and be like, hey, this is the issue I'm having with this student. All right, how can we work together to support the student? And when I can do that and let the student know that I can contact their parent at any moment, that student is a lot more
receptive,
apt and receptive, you know, to my suggestions and, you know, doing what it is that I need that student to do.
All right. That's outstanding. Great. Are you a teacher who finds yourself drowning in the challenges of classroom management? Do student behaviors leave you feeling overwhelmed and drained at the end of each day? Picture this, a classroom where your students are not just present, but fully engaged, focused, and eager to learn. Say goodbye to classroom management stress and hello to success. The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program. Supporting students, Don, with behavior challenges requires skilled and knowledgeable educators, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of professional development and training should schools provide to equip teachers with the tools and strategies that are needed to teach struggling, you know, students effectively?
Okay, so there's three things. Number one, we have to be skilled in classroom management. Well, we have to continue to learn classroom management skills to where we have an environment that just is conducive to learning. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we have to be skilled in developing relationships with students. We have to know how to break those walls down that students put up. And so, in other words, we have to understand that students don't necessarily put up a wall to keep people out, but they put up that wall to see who cares enough in order to break that wall down to get in. And so if we can consistently show students that we care about them and that we are interested in their lives, not only in school, but outside of school, and that we're also interested in their interests, then the student will see, hey, the student that this teacher cares about me. Yeah. And therefore, since I know that, you know, I can, you know, manage my behavior in a way that pleases my teacher. All right. That's number two. How do we build those relationships? And then number three is teachers have to use a variety of teaching strategies in order to engage students. And we have to be able to have the mindset as a teacher that I want to move beyond compliance and move to engagement.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we all are familiar with this phrase that an idle mind is a devil's playground. Mm-hmm. And if our students are in class and they're not really engaged, if they're bored, if they're not interested in what's going on, then we're going to see some behavior problems manifest. But if we can take our messages or our lessons and provide students with more than just a lesson and provide them with a learning experience, then we'll see a boost in engagement and we'll see more pro-social behaviors. And another thing that we have to do as teachers is we have to stop surviving and move to thriving. And a lot of reasons that a lot of teachers are in a survival stage is because they try to manage students' behavior. And what we have to do is stop trying to manage students' behavior and just replace those negative behaviors with pro-social behaviors. And that's how you move to from surviving to thriving, because now we're not just trying to manage behavior, but we're actually teaching students pro-social behaviors and things that they need to do in order to be successful, not only in school, but also in life. Mm-hmm. So the problem, Steve, is a lot of teachers, they feel as if it's not their job to teach social emotional learning, mm-hmm. or it's not their job to teach respect, or it's not their job to counsel students. They say that's the social worker's job, or that's the school counselor's job. But mm-hmm. I often tell teachers, if that's your mindset, then you have to think about the amount of trauma that students bring into the classroom. And so if that's your mindset, that you're just going to teach content and you're not going to teach mutual respect and teach social emotional learning, then that's just like bringing a knife to a gunfight. All right. We have to be equipped with the skills to teach students pro-social behaviors and to help them with their social emotional learning issues.
Absolutely, Don. And kind of piggybacking off that, it's, you know, I mean, teaching character education or conducting morning meetings. I mean, yes. I know teachers conduct morning meetings all the way up through high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so I think those are probably really critical as well. You know, you talk about the social emotional learning aspect, you know.
Yeah. And the reason that's critical, Steve, is because there's a phrase that says you're going to pay now or pay later.
That's right.
All right. And really what it is when you're working with students and building those relationships, it's an investment. Okay. So when people think about spending money or spending time, they think about, I'm not going to get that money or time back. But if you look at it as making an investment, then you think about your return on your investment. And so your return on your investment in taking time to build those relationships, taking time to get to know your students, taking time to check in on your students and, you know, make sure they're good socially, emotionally, what that pays off in later is it takes away from those classroom disruptions. It takes away from the power struggles that a lot of teachers have with students, all right? Because once we make that investment, now we can leverage our relationships in order to get students to comply with what we need. I mean, the research is clear. The research shows that students who have good classroom management and strong relationships with their students, they have 80% less anxiety when they step into their classrooms every day. Hmm. Why is that? Because they know whatever situation may occur in their classroom, that they can leverage the relationships they have with those students to quickly redirect that behavior to get students back on task or get students to behave inappropriately.
Yeah, that's a powerful stat, 80%. Wow. Well, Don, again, what is your sense of managing students with challenging behaviors with respect to social promotions? In other words, do you pass kids on who are struggling with that area? You retain them? I know there's pros and cons to each of these situations. What can schools do? What can communities do to ensure students are going to be successful when promoted?
All right. So a student's behavior should not determine whether he's promoted to the next grade. Okay. What promotion should be based on is a student's academic performance. All right, and the student's, knowledge, and have they mastered the standards and gained what's needed in order to move on, mm-hmm. To that next grade. And so, what teachers have to look at is the MTSS process. Some people refer to it as RTI, but MTSS is just multi-tier systems of support. And if students need interventions, whether they be behavior interventions or academic interventions, we have to apply those interventions to students so that they can gain the necessary skills in order to be successfully academically or behaviorally. And in response to intervention, RTI process, where we have to see what interventions those students need, see if they're responding to those interventions, and then see what we can do with schools in order to support that student. The issue is, Steve, that a lot of teachers sometimes take students' behavior personally. And when they do this, they want to see, how can I get back at this student for being disrespectful to me? And they do that through grades, and they do that through punitive methods. But what I teach teachers to do is to understand that the student's behavior or lack of performance in the class is not a personal attack against you. Mm-hmm. So we have to remember the Q-tip method. And what the Q-tip method simply states is, quit taking it personal. All right. And if we can, take ourselves out of the equation and understand that students have trauma, and that's the reason that they may behave in a certain manner, or that may be the reason, or the trauma may be a barrier to their learning. Okay. And so now we have to ask ourselves, what can we do as a teacher in order to help the students meet our expectations? Right, and not take it personal. And so a lot of teachers, when they see students behaving in a manner in which is unacceptable, they'll ask the question, what's wrong with this student? Right? And what trauma-informed education teaches us is to stop asking what's wrong with this student and ask ourselves what happened to this student. And this is the way we close the empathy gap. Mm-hmm. All right? And when we can see what happened with this student, and we can understand the kind of social emotional learning support that they need in order to get their behavior on track and to remove those barriers to learning, then we will see a stark improvement in the student's academic performance and with their behavior. But we have to close that empathy gap, okay? And until teachers can really look at themselves in the mirror and say, am I taking it personal? All right, am I doing everything I can as a teacher to help the student to be successful? Okay, because great teachers not only have great expectations for their students, but they also have high expectations for themselves.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's out. Great words there. Don, let me ask you this. What is the biggest takeaway that you would like to share with our audience, for that new teacher just stepping into the classroom, as well as teachers with years of experience, what would you mm-hmm. say to them?
I would tell them that it's been demonstrated time and time again that the very top thing that helps students to be successful is a trusting adult. Mm-hmm. All right. It is the number one thing that students need in order to help them overcome their trauma and to help them perform better in the classroom and in the school community, is having that one trusted adult. And so the thing that I would tell teachers is to, you know what, understand the impact that you can have on the life of a student and be that one trusted adult that that student needs in their life in order to be successful. Where that student can look back and says, and say, you know what, I'm successful because of this teacher, because of the encouragement that they gave me on a daily basis, because of the patience that they, you know, showed me in order to help me to be successful, and because of their constant support and encouragement. And since my teacher wouldn't give up on me, then I made the decision that I wouldn't give up on myself. And I owe that to that one teacher.
All right. That is just absolutely awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I'd like to ask you, Don, how can folks connect with you?
All right. So people can connect with me through my email. My email is drdonparker@drdonparker.com. They can also connect with me on Twitter. My Twitter or my X handle is @drdonparker1. They can also follow me on Facebook. And my Facebook page is Dr. Don Parker. And same thing on LinkedIn. My profile on LinkedIn is Dr. Don Parker. So as long as people know me, all right, they can get in touch with me.
All right.
As long as they know my name, they can get in touch with me, because all of my social medias are based on my name.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, understand you have a new book out and
yes,
upcoming promotion. You would like to talk about that?
All right, yes. So I have the first book that I've written. It's called Building Bridges, Engaging Students at Risk Through the Power of Relationships. All right. And so this book was strictly written for teachers on how they can build relationships with students, all right, in order to help students be successful in the classroom. Mm-hmm. All right, so this book was written strictly for teachers to help them, to give them tips and strategies on how to build relationships with students. And my second book that was recently released is called Be the Driving Force, Leading Your School on the Road to Equity. And this book previewed as one of the best sellers and highly anticipated books on Amazon.
Oh, great. Right?
Okay, so this book was written specifically for school leaders on how school leaders can do what's possible and what's necessary in order to help staff and students reach their full potential. All right, some people, when they look at the word equity, they don't like the word equity. But what equity means to me is giving everybody, every person, each individual, what they need in order to meet their full potential. And so this book is a guide for school leaders on how they can build equity in their schools in order to give students and staff what they need to reach their full potential. So the title of the book is Be the Driving Force, Leading Your School on the Road to Equity.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, well, first of all, congratulations on your published book. And are you promoting that anyhow? Or somehow?
Absolutely. Yes. Sure. So the book is, both of my books are published by Solution Tree, which is one of the leading professional development companies, you know, in the United States and beyond. And they do a lot of promotions on the Solution Tree website through there. They also promote through the books and catalogs that they mail to educators all across America. And I also promote on my social media platforms where, you know, I might give away a free book or, you know, do a cool giveaway or a raffle, because I also want to do everything I can to get these two books in the hands of educators all across the United States of America.
Absolutely. Well, great, great. Well, we'll definitely put the link to your website in our podcast description and, you know, and of course our YouTube as well. Well, again, Don, I want to thank you. I can't tell you enough. I know not only new teachers, but ones that's been around for years and get a lot of value from our, you know, the conversation that you had. And I thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the show here. I really appreciate it. I'd love to have you back again at some point in the future.
And I would love that. And Steve, I just want to thank you for having this platform to support teachers and to be a resource to teachers so that they can continue to learn and grow in their practice, in their craft, so that they can bring out the best in themselves, so they can bring out the best in their students. So thank you for having this platform for teachers and educators.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, like I said, you know, I know what it was to be fresh out of college, first day in that classroom and nervous and all that other good stuff. So I just want to, you know, use this platform as a way to share tips and strategies for teachers so they can be successful and help them in the classroom. At any rate, well, again, thank you so much. And we'll talk soon. And you have an awesome day, Don. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. Well, my friend, we have come to the end of today's episode. But before we go, I'd like to ask you a question. Are you ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students? Then learn more about how the Teacher Rockstar Academy can be of help. Simply go to teacherclassroomresources.com/TRA. I'll put the link in the description so that you can learn more about this program. I want to thank you for listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. We'll see you same time, same place next week. And remember, my friend, you got this.
You've been listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our ever-growing community of teacher rock stars. Until then, thanks for listening.